The church has to get close in fellowship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's asking you to get close to His heart. We want to hear the heartbeat of Jesus. I am praying that as we go through this song, that husbands and wives will become closer, but that the church will wake up and draw closer to the heart of God in our first love.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, we're glad to have you with us today. As we look ahead to the start of another year, Roel is beginning a new series in the Song of Solomon. This book celebrates God's amazing love, underscoring the peace and hope that we can have when we face the future in communion with Him. Stay with us for inspiration to press in closer to God and enjoy a relationship with Him that's as personal and familiar as a husband and wife. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins.
The Song of Songs is quite a book, and it's one of those books that a lot of people misinterpret. And at the same time, it is a book that will teach us a lot about Jesus, about Christ. A picture of the church and her lover, Jesus, which is so cool. Let me give you an introduction to the book, and then we'll get into the book. The writer is Solomon, the son of King David. Remember that King David was married to Bathsheba. Before he married her, he fell into sin with her. And then the first baby that she had died, and then the second baby that came once David married her was Solomon. Solomon was one of the wisest persons that ever lived. And he was the most wealthy. If you talk about a person that had everything in life, it was Solomon. Solomon was the wealthiest person. I mean, he had everything that his heart desired. In 1 Kings 11:3, he says this, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away from him." Think about that. His wives turned his heart away from God. Now, the key chapter to the book of Song of Solomon in chapter 1 is this, the key chapter, communion, the bride and the bridegroom, the relationship, the fellowship between Christ and his bride, like a husband and a wife should be. Then the key verse that he uses in the book is chapter 6, verse 3. He says this, "The Song of Solomon says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies." Among the lilies, imagine that. The husband and wife relationship. The key words in the book of Solomon, here in the Song of Solomon, is the word beloved. It is used 23 times in the book. 23 times, speaking of the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then love, we find the word love in here many, many times. Now, the key phrase used in the book is chapter 2:16. It says this. He says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies." Again, think about that. He feeds among the lilies. And then the key thought is the fullness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the key thought was interesting. The key thought in the book is love him with all of your heart. And look what it says. Solomon, more than 1,000 songs he wrote. Imagine that. Over 1,000 songs. And then this is what he says. He says, "And only his one was designed, this one, by God, out of the 1,005 songs. This is the key book that chose by the Holy Spirit to be put in the Bible." Imagine that. 3,000 Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, we have 31 Proverbs there. So Solomon was a wise person connected with God. But once he married unequally yoked together, he started going down. Going down. And anybody in the Old Testament, if you go back to the book of Judges when Joshua died, in chapter 1, we see the beginning of the judges. And then in chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. And when that generation from the past passed away, there arose another generation. Who's that? Their children. That did not serve the Lord, but they worship other gods. And that was the downfall of the Old Testament. All the way through. Kings, judges, and then Samuel, and then Chronicles, and Kings, and all the way through the Old Testament, all the way to Malachi, where the priesthood became contaminated, and like the people, like the priests, became idolaters and worshipers. Think of the things that are going on today in the church and outside of the church. People in their homes, the Word of God that brings wisdom to each one of us individually. And sitting down in the morning, sitting down at noon or in the evening with your children before they go to bed and giving them a scripture to memorize it so they can go to bed with the Word of God in their hearts. As they're laying there, they can be saying the scripture. Or reading them a story. Because this way, not only are you brainwashing them and you're feeding them spiritually, and then one day when they grow up, they're going to say, my parents taught me the Word of God. Great responsibility to parents. Great responsibility. Now let's look at the beginning of chapter 1. Let me give you a little more introduction here. The Song of Solomon is testing what? It's going to test the spiritual capacity of the reader. So you're going to be challenged for the good, not for the worst. In the Old Testament, God here is married to Israel. So there's another picture. God is married to Israel. In the New Testament, Christ is married to us, the church. And then in the study that we have before us, we will see not only the love of Christ for his church, but we'll also see our love for Jesus Christ. Our love for Jesus Christ. You know how many times Jesus talks about love? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your mind, with everything that is in you. And if Jesus Christ is truly love, then you go back from the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And what do we see there? Seven churches, and the first church, they left their first love. They fell out of love with Christ, and they had great works. Sometimes churches have great works, but they left their first love. And Jesus says, repent. If you don't repent, I will go somewhere else and move. I will go somewhere else. And think of all the Christians today in the world that have left their first love. You make the decision to leave it for other things. And that's why when you think of Jesus Christ and who we are in Christ, that Jesus is our husband and we are his beautiful bride, he says. Jesus, in speaking of the seven churches again, remember the last one, Laodicea? The church that probably is in existence today. It's the last church. And in the last church, he says this. He says, I would rather have you to be cold or to be warm. But if you're in the middle, lukewarm, I, Jesus, will spew you out of my mouth. I'll vomit you out. Think of how many people in the church are not cold, some are hot, but the majority are lukewarm. And they don't see it. They don't see it. To be lukewarm is to lose your passion for God. You don't read the Bible. You don't pray. You only live by the law. I do it because I feel good when I go to church. You're doing your duty. You're with works. And yet, we're not living by works, we're living by faith. True faith is what? Is practiced through obedience. Through obedience. Commitment. Passion for the Lord. So that we do not end up backsliding, going away from Christ. But coming to that place, as we work on our marriage, we need to work on our relationship with Christ. And yet think about how when you're dating and you were so in love, you're polite, open door, close door, take them out to eat and whatever. You get married, now you want her to pay. And you say, oh, now open the door for me. No, you don't do that. You just go, get in. Get in. I mean, it's crazy. And as you get older, you're going in different ways. Different ways. I've seen so many young couples when they get married, and men, within a couple of months, the honeymoon's over. And then you have kids. You see? And so you have all these things. So here, we're going to see a beautiful picture, man, of not only our first love, but of Jesus Christ in the church. Let's begin chapter 1, verse 1. He says, the songs which is Solomon's. He says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. We notice here that in verse 2, what he's doing here, verse 1 and 2, he's bringing us to a point where Jesus is our relationship with him. Because notice what he says, let him kiss me. Him is Jesus. Me is the bride, with kisses of his mouth. So the Shulamite is speaking first. So I'll tell you as we move forward here. For your love is better than wine. Your love is better than wine. Wine is a mocker. Those that drink it are stupid. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Paul says, be you not drunk, what? But be you filled with the Holy Spirit. Be you filled with the Holy Spirit. It's sad. But here, when he uses the word wine, he's actually associated with gladness. It's a gladness. It's so gladness to be with Jesus Christ. It's an honor. I'm glad that I know Jesus Christ. I am glad that he is my husband, man, and I am his bride, which is so cool what he does here. And then when he uses the word to kiss here, it indicates existence of a very personal love relationship with Jesus. With Jesus. Imagine how beautiful that is.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. We're committed to helping you ground your heart and life in the rich truths of Scripture. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wealth of resources. You can also download our free app for live-streamed Bible teaching, digital Bible studies, and much more. Now, back to more in the Song of Solomon.
And then he says this, for your love is better than wine. Now, this is a song all the way through. 8 chapters is a song. And he says this, because of your fragrance, of your good ointment, the perfumes. He says, the name is ointment poured forth, therefore the virgins love you. So what he's saying here is that the name of Jesus, his name is the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. He's my God. And this is when Jesus began his life on earth. Remember, he came, he died, he rose, and then went back. And then he says, draw me away, notice, the daughter of Jerusalem, and we will run after you. So here what he's talking about is the church. That the church has to get close in fellowship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's asking you to get close to his heart, not away from his heart. We want to hear the heartbeat of Jesus. We want to hear the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Exposes his love in this life. He says, I love the name of Jesus, Emmanuel Christ the Lord, like fragrance in the vessels, and his name abroad and poured out completely and fully. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings. I am praying that as we go through this song, that husbands and wives will become closer, but that the church will wake up and draw closer to the heart of God in our first love, especially in the times and the days we're living to the end. Again, the Shulamite speaks, the king has brought me into his chambers. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love, notice, more than wine. The king has brought me into his chambers. Speaking of that deep fellowship and communion that Christ gives to the bride. And then she says again, rightly do they love you. I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Here she gives a description of herself. She's dark. She's not black. She's dark. Because being out in the vineyards, she's out there getting sunburned. She's been out doing the will of her father. And a lot of times when you see this here, think of the church sometimes when it's out of fellowship with God. Doesn't take care of itself. And so what does the Lord do? The Lord brings you back. He cleans you out. He brings you back into the fellowship. And here she's talking about herself because she's talking to her lover. And check this out what he says. He said, I am dark. He says, but lovely. O daughter of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, do not look upon me because I am dark. Notice what she says. She works hard for the family, but did not take care of herself physically. Physically. Like the church, spiritually. Think about that. The church doesn't take care of itself spiritually. That's where the problem comes. And not only individually, but as a church. Think of how many churches today are hurting or dissolving because of the carnality, the sin in the church, including the leaders, pastors, elders, deacons, shepherds that are supposed to lead the flock and live by example, and they don't live by example. So here, God is speaking to our own hearts completely and fully. Then he says, then here comes now the groom, Jesus. He says, tell me, that's the bride, all you whom I love. So Jesus loves us. Where you feed your flock? So he's talking to the bride. Where are you feeding your flock? It's like, where do you feed spiritually? Do you spend time in the Word at home? Coming to church? And getting fed spiritually? Where you make it rest at noon? For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? Notice that. The church and Jesus. And then the beloved. Notice. If you do not know, he's responding to her. If you do not know a fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. So here he says, I have compared you. Notice, church and then Christ. Verse 10. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments. Notice, identifying the beauty of the church. He says, your neck like the chains of gold. The daughters, the virgins of Jerusalem, we will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. So here's a picture of what our heavenly Father, the bridegroom, will be to believers in the age to come when Jesus comes. And then the Shumalite. While the king is at the table, or his table, my spikenard stands for its fragrance. So this is the fragrance like Christ in our lives, like a sweet perfume. He says, a bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me. So the myrrh represents Jesus Christ. Remember when he was born, the three wise men, they brought the three gifts. Myrrh was one of them. And what's incredible here is that here it talks of his entire life that he lived on earth. That lies all night between my breast. He says, my beloved is to me a cluster of what? Henna blooms. In the vineyards of En-Gedi, so he's talking about the bride and the groom. And if you've ever been to Israel with us, remember En-Gedi, where it's at? You come from Jerusalem down, and you go to the right, Jericho's here, and you go over to my left, which would be your right, the Dead Sea. You go halfway to the Dead Sea before you get to Herodias. And En-Gedi is right after the case where they found the scrolls. Okay, so when you get up to En-Gedi, it is the most beautiful place. This is the place where David hid from Saul, when Saul was after him. There are waterfalls up there. There's goats. I mean, there's wild sheep out there. It is the most beautiful place because when we go up there, there's a lot of stories about David. what David had to do. And Engedi, to me, is one of my favorite places in the wilderness to go there and to reflect back in the book of Samuel when David had ran from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him. And I picture in my mind David being up there, hiding, that Saul would not come and kill him. But through those things, David learned to trust in the Lord. To trust in, just like us as the church, we need to trust in our beloved. In the Lord Jesus Christ. So that he can take care of us. He can watch over us. He goes on and he says again, verse 13, let's go back. A bundle of myrrh is the beloved to me. That lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me as cluster of henna blooms. In the vineyard of Engedi, behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. Notice here, beautiful. Expressing her adoration of the bridegroom. Notice he says this to her. He says, behold, you are fair, beautiful. My love. Behold, you are fair. You are like dove's eyes. And then the Shumalite. Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Speaking not only of the beauty of the church, but the beauty of the bridegroom. Yes, pleasant. Our bed is green, speaking an invitation to come to Jesus Christ and rest in him. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. Come and lie, rest with me. He says verse 17. The beams of our houses are cedar and our rafters are fir. So here's the beautiful picture of all these things that are going on in the life of the bride and then the bridegroom. Now, think about how the church today, where it lies today. All of the problems. I mean, would Jesus Christ be pleased with his bride today? He's not going to wipe her out. But imagine the broken heart that Jesus has today for his bride. Fully, completely, knowing that the bride of Jesus Christ, the majority of the bride of Jesus Christ, have left her first love. Remember when you came to Jesus Christ, the fire, the passion that you had for him? What happened to that passion? What happened to that love that you had for him? I think that the church needs to repent, including me, all of us. And we need to return to the Lord. Return to our bridegroom. So that Jesus not only can embrace us and love us, because he loves us all the time, no matter what we do, but that we may return and that we can get close to his chest and hear his heartbeat as we come to him. We need to hear his heartbeat. As he listens to our heartbeat, he knows who we are. Because the church pretty soon is going to be taken. I am praying that as we go through this song, that when you go home, I want you to reread it. Reread it. Come prepared to hear from the Holy Spirit. So that as a church, we can go forward, not backwards. And God can bring his Holy Spirit with miracles and wonders into this church. And to see hundreds and thousands of people get saved before it's too late. That's what I desire. That God will really speak to this church in a powerful way.
Well, it's both comforting and mind-boggling to know that Jesus desires a close personal relationship with each one of us. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To hear today's message in its complete form, just call us at 800-634-9165. And for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy of Raul's teaching from the Song of Solomon, Chapter 1. Now, whether you've walked with Jesus for many years or you're just getting started on your journey, we'd like to tell you about an inspiring book from Raul's late wife, Sharon, titled My Husband, My Maker. This engrossing autobiography traces Sharon's experiences as she walked in step with the Lord through the rocky early years of her marriage before Raul came to Christ. Sharon's story will spur you on in seeking a deep communion with God that's grounded in his goodness and the truth of his word. To order
My Husband, My Maker, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send your copy for $10 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We encourage you to explore our many free resources as well. Join Roll for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. This channel also features podcasts of all of our previously aired programs. Now, for uplifting daily insights from Scripture, subscribe to Roll's devotional emails at SomebodyLovesYou.com. Don't forget, your partnership enables us to keep sharing God's mighty, life-changing word, and we are grateful for every tax-deductible gift. Next time, we'll continue this series rejoicing in the mighty love of Jesus and His constant presence in our lives. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.